people in this country take it for granted when they turn the tap, clean water comes out. It's not a problem, but that definitely is not the case in many other countries overseas, correct?
That's absolutely correct. I just had a student return from spring break. She traveled to Nicaragua, and my first advice to her was, don't drink the water.
What are the problems they face over there? Is it contaminated? They just don't have access to it, or both?
Well, it's a little bit of both. When they have access, typically the water is full of pathogens that cause diarrhea. We commonly refer to them as germs in it that can make people pretty sick. Also, it's got parasites. Many of the children suffer from bloated bellies. The typical problems you see in developing countries.
And this affects quite a few people around the world, right?
Yes, it does. As you mentioned, we're very fortunate here in the U.S. that we have good, safe, clean drinking water pretty much throughout the country. The same is true in other developed countries, but in developing countries, there is no water purification. Governments don't do that for the people. So it's up to the people to either come up with a way to provide themselves with clean water or to just drink the local water. In most cases, you know, if a child lives past the age of 5, they develop sort of an immunity, or they become accustomed to the water and their body adjusts to deal with the pathogens. But the biggest problem is with children under the age of 5. Nearly 5,000 children die every day from waterborne diseases. So we're trying to do something to resolve that issue.
Your organization, Clean Water for the World, will be having its annual Walk for Water event on the 23rd to raise money. What will that money be used for?
No one in our organization receives a salary. The entire organization is run by volunteers. We use that money to buy the parts to build the water purification systems that we distribute free of charge to communities that don't have access to potable water. So it's an ultraviolet light system. Most of the parts are sort of off the shelf, nothing extremely unusual about them. It's just the way we put them together and make them work. We build a 120 unit, which could be used in many parts of the Americas. We build 210 units that we ship to India and parts of Africa. And then we also build a lot of solar-powered units. The countries that we work in, often there's very little infrastructure, no electricity, and our solar-powered units get installed in those locations.
Clean Water for the World began in 2002, I believe, in El Salvador, an outgrowth of a trip that a couple from Southwest Michigan actually took. Perhaps you could talk a little bit briefly about the history of the organization.
Jerry and Judy Bowl in 2002 traveled to El Salvador, and they noticed that while they could afford to buy bottled water, the local Salvadorans couldn't. So they came back, and they were concerned about that sort of disparity in wealth that caused people to be forced to drink water that would make them sick. They had a daughter that went to Rochester Institute of Technology. They got a biannual publication. In there was a story about a young woman by the name of Sarah Brownell, who had also traveled to Salvador, also saw the problem with the water. And she came back and worked with a couple of professors to develop a simple system to purify that water. Jerry and Judy read the article, jumped in their vehicle, and drove to Rochester, arranged to meet with Sarah and her professors, and learned about that system, came back, built one, and took it to Salvador. They installed it in a churchyard, nailed to a tree, and that system is still operating to this day. So a very effective way to help the Salvadorans. From that, we've expanded to working in other parts of the world. A lot of our work is in Central America and in the Caribbean Basin. We're very active in Haiti because they have a terrible water problem there. They also have the same infrastructure problem that we run into. So we send a lot of solar-powered systems to Haiti.
Since 2002, what kind of impact do you think Clean Water for the World has had on this issue overall?
Well, we work mostly in small communities. And if you travel in through developing nations, you'll find that small communities are very abundant. We receive contact from someone in a community. We also work with a lot of NGOs on the ground. And as far as the impact, the first thing we hear is that the children, their attendance at school has increased. They're not at home with diarrhea. They're not having to try and find sources for clean water, and so they're able to attend school. We also often hear from doctors that work in clinics that the problems with waterborne disease, you know, taper off fairly radically. In Haiti, we've got systems in a number of the cholera clinics down there, and the doctors are very happy to have it because one of the things you have to do with cholera is treat the sick people with clean water, and this allows them to have access to clean, safe drinking water.
The Walk for Water event that we mentioned a little while ago, how can people get involved in that?
They could go on Facebook to Kalamazoo Walk for Water 2013, and on Facebook is a form they can download. It's a sponsor form. It is a fundraiser, so we ask students and community members to find sponsors who will sponsor them on either a per-mile basis or just on a flat rate for doing the walk, and we walk the entire perimeter of the Western campus, which is about 6 miles. We walk that distance because that's sort of the average distance that women and children travel every day to find drinking water for their families. So it takes a little over an hour to do the walk, and we return back. We start out at Miller Plaza, and we come back to Miller Plaza about an hour and 15 minutes after we leave.
Do you have a goal in mind for the amount of money you hope to raise?
We'd like to raise somewhere around $10,000. That would allow us to build a number of systems. As I say, we've got a huge demand in Haiti. Our solar-powered systems are a little bit more expensive, but if we could secure $10,000, that would allow us to send 8 to 10 systems to Haiti or other places around the world.
And there are other walks going on in other places around the country, I believe.
There are, yes. We've got students in Toledo that hold a walk for water for us. And this year, Bowling Green State University will be having their first walk for water. You can go to our webpage, cleanwaterfortheworld.org, and learn a little bit about those other walks, as well as find information about the Kalamazoo Walk for Water.